Shloka, Oh, who you are glorified in the transcendental poetry. Achyuta.
O
infallible one. Avyaya.
O
undiminishing one. Anujanihi.
Please be
relieved.
Ma'am, to me.
Krishna.
Krishna.
O Krishna.
O Krishna.
Yantam.
Yantam.
Who am going?
Devadatim,
to the world of the demigods,
Prabho,
O Master,
Yatra
Kwapi,
wherever,
Sataha,
desiring,
Ketaha,
Kamani,
Bhuya,
may it
be,
may me,
Twat,
Yo,
Kada,
of
the feet.
Padam,
whose shelter.
You shall shelter.
Translation interpreted by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Devadeva, Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Rishikesha Punya Shloka Achyuta Avyaya, O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of demigods. Wherever I live, O Master, may my mind always take shelter of your feet. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments as follows on this verse. His faith emboldened upon receiving Lord Krishna's mercy and thus attaining the status of servitude, King Mriga properly glorifies the Lord by chanting his names and then asks the Lord's permission to take his leave. The spirit of his prayer is as follows. You are Devadeva, God of even gods, and Jagannath, the master of the universe, so please be my master. O Govinda, please make me your property and the same merciful glance you used to enchant the cows. You can do this because you are Purushottama, the supreme form of God, O Narayan. Since you are the foundation of the living entities, please be my support even though I am a bedridden entity. O Rishikesh, please make my senses your own. O Punya Shloka, now you have become famous as the deliverer of Mriga. O Achyuta, please never be lost to my mind. O Avyaya, you will never diminish in my mind. That the great Bhagavatam commenter Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains the purport of this verse. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavasyam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sarajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhamitamsya हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्ते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि श्रीहरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीमाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Deva Deva Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Rishikesha Punya Shloka Achyuta Avyaya. Anujanihi Maha Krishna Yantam Devadatim Tato Yatra Kwapi Satascheto Bhuyane Tvat Sadaspadam. O Devadeva Jagannatha Govinda Purushottama Narayana Rishikesha Punya Shloka Achyuta Avyaya. O Krishna, please permit me to depart for the world of demigods. Wherever I be, O Master, may my mind always take shelter of your feet. Talking in the river is asking the benediction because the Lord is present right before him. Now, one's consciousness is locked up even in the body of another, body of a reptile. This is giving us some hint towards the eternity of the soul, which belongs to the Lord, and naturally, when the Lord is present right in front of him, there is some kind of familiarity that the soul recognizes of the super soul. But still his desires are different. He is not asking to go back home back to God. Rather, he said, please let me put the abode of the demigods. But in whichever condition I will be situated, I will always be mindful of you and nothing else. So he acquired the devotional qualities. These prayers are signifying so many things. And why the soul has to glorify with these choicest words, which are very meaningful, that distinguish the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is to other personalities, so-called, they are called demigods. That's a distinction here. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Devrata Devan, Pitrun Yanti Pitruta, Bhutana Bhutai Jayanti, Madhyanina Pimam. All these entities are different and I am also different. So those who have reposed their faith on the other living entities, then they will be associated with them. But one who reposes on my attention, he will decide with me. Worshipper of demigods, go to the planets of demigods. Worshipper of Buddhas, they are subtle or gross. Buddhas means manifested, living being. But there is a subtle manifestation too, which is beyond our sense perception. And the gross manifestations of them too. So simultaneously, Buddhas means the living entities, both manifested and unmanifested. So those who want to associate with them, they will go to them. Pitrus means the forefathers, those who are attached with the bodily conception, with the family, the lineage. Then they will go to their families. But one who is attached with me will come to me. So there are four kinds of living entities. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme living entity, which is eternal. And in Upanishad, it is said that Nityo Nityanam Chetanam Chetanam Eko Bahunam Yogidadavika. He is the chief of all eternals. He is the supreme living entity, supreme personality, is manifested. And he is eternal, but he is the chief of all other living entities, those who are also eternal. These living entities belong to the souls, or the living entities in the suppressed form, which are the pitrus, or devas, or ghost goblins. They are all living entities. So, our manifestation is in this particular form according to our attachment. If we are attached with the forefathers, because they lived happily, they gave us inheritance and we become obsessed. People want to keep the prestige of their Kuru Parampara, means heritage, lineage. Then naturally they are called worshipper of forefathers. They were existing, but now they are also existing wherever they are, because they have such a remembrance of their high standard of living and very systematic approach to the material life by following the religious principles that we can't follow. So naturally, after long appreciation that all my father told me and I was unable to do this, so he becomes more respectful. He is obligated. So under that obligation, he has an attachment and he worships forefathers. People worship their forefathers when they depart, either in the form of Shraddha or the rites, because there is an obligation to liberate them too. So there are many reasons. Then people also become attached to their unfulfilled desires. So at the time of death, when person is so much anchored and could not, so naturally, one is inclined to work after their glorification, to try to satisfy them as an obligation. So work of whatever our predecessors left, we have to complete. So actually there are material desires which are unfulfilled, and people devote their life to simply concentrate on that. So they are called Buddhas, worshipper of Buddhas. So there is a subtle form of the living entity which is engrossed with mind intrusions and ego when the gross body perishes. Gross body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, and heat. The demigods are the living entities who are very, very powerful, and they are ordained by the Supreme Lord to manage the material affairs, because they are also product of material nature. Of course, they were produced before the other living entities are given their position in the particular form. See, these demigods are very powerful, and people who are attached to them for their benefits, because they are the suppliers of material needs. So thinking the material needs is all in all to achieve this particular life, they worship the demigods. Krishna tells that those who are bewildered and thus lost that sense of reality, they worship the demigods. Kama states that hatha jnana. Their lustful desires to achieve some mundane thing, they approach the demigods. But that shows that their real intelligence is lost. Prapadyantanya devata. And because they have developed that faith, I preserve that faith and let them go to the planets of them. But they are unintelligent people. Because ultimately the offerings given by the demigods is on the short lead. Antamantu phalam tesha. Tad bhavatim alpamejasa. For those who are worshipping the demigods, demigods will give them, bestow them the needs. But they are temporary, therefore such endeavors to obtain only temporary benefit is not a sign of good intelligence. They have virtually overcome the knowledge, because there is something more sublime, eternal, So the Supreme Lord, his position is separated from all other living entities. It says Nityam, eternal. Nityana, even though the souls by constitutional nature, constitutional position, they are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So they are also Nitya. Neither the soul is born or neither it can die. Na jayate nityate va kadachin mayam bhutva bhavita va anubhuta ajo nityam shashvatvayam puranam nanyate manushya. The soul from the other dhyan is never born. And even if he acquires a body which is not part of him, when that perishes, he still remains eternal. Neither is born, neither can die. So there are symptoms of all of the characteristics of the soul which are eternal, but because they are part and parcel of the Supreme Whole, he is also eternal and he is the chief. And the souls are wandering. They are wandering around simply to fulfill their selfish desires. And even in that ignorance that they cannot fulfill their desire on their own, the Lord is kind and provides everything before they even take shapes in different species of life. Eko Bhavana Yogitadhatika. He alone is fulfilling the desires of everyone. So, he is person because the soul assumes personality even in ignorance. So, he must have a very true personality in reality. And this personality is part and parcel of the Supreme Host, so therefore Supreme Personality of Godhead is also existing. He's Nitya, he's eternal. How can you deny it? So, Nrida, in the form of the lizard, is praying. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is commenting on that, that the gist of his prayers are summarized like this, that you are Devadeva, God of even gods, the demigods. And you are Jagannatha, the master of the universe. So, please be my master. This realization that even though he wants to go to planets of the demigods, he still wants to consider Krishna as his master. Who goes to the demigods? Those who are worshippers of the demigods, but at the same time, those who are promoted to the life of demigods. So he must be one of the demigods even. Right? Those who are demigods are designed in the heavenly planets. And who goes to heavenly planets? Those who have done good activity, pious activity. Yamaraj already acknowledged, Mrida, you have accumulated so much pious activity, but inadvertently you have some clothes, so what results do you want first? Of the one that is of impious activity or pious activity? So he says, no, I want first to enjoy the results of impious activity. So he says, then fall. So here he is becoming lizard. But that is a very short-lived species. And that lifespan is completely insignificant. Means the only mistake of when he was giving the cow, which was already donated before, he was trying to redonate it under innocence. He didn't know it. But that evident mistake has to be in a short punishment of a body of a lizard. So, when Krishna was very kind, out of his own conscious mercy, that he is bestowing, he is giving the results of saying, and he takes for granted, no, Krishna is not, yet showing that desire, but he is asking the benediction, please let me go to the abode of the demigods. And you will be my master, yes, I will serve you, even in the form of demigod. So, this makes a very distinct classification that who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, who are the demigods, who are the living entities, and who are the subtle, unfulfilled desire, ghost gopis. Four kinds of living entities. So, this classification is also telling that when the prayers are understood through the realization of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he is requesting that, O Govinda, please make me your property with the same merciful glass you used to enchant the cows. Prabhupada also explains the word Govinda. Go means cows and also means the senses. So, in that sense, he is asking to enchant his senses. So, it also means that he wants to utilize his senses in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the master of the senses. Sarvapadirvinikmuktam Sattaratvena Nirmala Rishikena Rishikesam Sevana Bhakti Vachate. Devotional service means one must engage his senses in the service of the master of the senses. Who is the master of the senses? Are we the master of senses? We have senses. But are we master of senses? No. Who has controlled his senses? Or who is controlled by his senses? We are all pulled by the senses to the objects of sense gratification, and there we go into entanglement. Krishna also explains this. Simply by contemplating on the objects of sense gratification, we tend to associate with them, and as association begins, lust develops. When the lust is not fulfilled, breath develops. And when breath develops, we lose the composure, we become bewildered. And when the bewilderment continues, we lose the smriti. Smriti means the remembrance of our original nature. And smriti bhramshad vinasha. When the remembrance is lost, intelligence is lost. Intelligence means the discrimination between temporary and permanent. Intelligence means a long-term eternal benefit versus a short-term benefit. So naturally, those who are asking for short-term benefit, they are less intelligent. They are less intelligent according to and then they go to the demigods. So, King Mrida, in the form of lizard, is praying that please make my senses enlivened, just like you enliven the senses of the cows. Means you are giving the pleasure to the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya, Jagatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the benefit, the most significant well-wisher to the cows and Brahmanas. Brahmanas are supposed to control their senses, samah, dama, tapah, shaucha. That is the first and foremost requirement for the Brahmanas, that they are supposed to control the senses by refraining from indulgence, discrimination, with mental discrimination, and top of this physical austerity. Shama, Dama, Tapa, Shaucham. Shanti Rajavani Vacha, Ahimsa, Astikyam, Brahma Karma Svabhavam. These are the characteristics of the Brahman. So we see overall that those who are uncontrolled in their desires, means through the senses. The senses are the medium to, of the vehicle to convey the desires as well as experience the results of the desire. And actually they are supposed to get us into the inquiry of our reality. That's why the senses have been given. Instead we use for sense gratification. The senses are all knowledge acquiring senses. And we thought the knowledge of the objects of sense gratification is good enough. The knowledge. People are so bewildered that even in the schools they want to compulsory give sex education. That the knowledge of sense gratification is important. So you can imagine their senses must be very unbridled, uncontrolled. No wonder the result will be Adanta Gobi Vishatam Panistram Punah Punaschantam Chavana. Adanta Gobi means uncontrolled senses. Ends up into Tamishram, hellish condition, not pleasurable or heavenly condition. And people, out of masterization of this sense gratification, they end up punah punah, means again and again, charitam, chewing. Charitana means one has already chewed them, no juice. Failure. So, Nrada realizes that I have to engage my senses in the service of the master of senses. So he is turning him or naming him as Rishikesh. And Rupa Goswami gave that formula that if we engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, it is called Rishikesh. That is called devotional service. Devotion is to engage our senses. So we can engage these five senses in knowledgeability of location. How? When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While chanting, we touch the mouth, the beads. So spashendriya means the sense of touch is in service of chanting, gurgling. The eyes must be open, means mindful. Then what are we chanting? Whether we are chanting one mantra on one bead or six slips of a three-four in one bead. So mindful. The sense of hearing is most important. Are we hearing properly? Attentively? Then, if it is tulsi, All around in the temple, sense of smell that reminds us of approaching Krishna. Even while chanting, that should continue. Tulsi is accompanying us. Then, the taste of the tongue. Because the holy name is Rasa Vigraha, it is full of nectarian mellows. It reveals the mellows of transcendental nature. Therefore, our tongue should be cultivated to serve that holy name. It is the taste. In our chanting, it is said, if we don't develop taste, then we will never know how Lord Krishna is looking like, nor what are his activities of transcendence. Name Ruchi. How do you develop taste? If you chant, first of all, regularly, means 16 rounds with firm determination, and going through the process of avoiding the anarthas. Bhajana Kriya is to be done with anartha nivrutti. Anartha nivrutti means eradicating all unwanted things that are coming as an obstacle. They have to be shunned off. Then it becomes nishtha, means confirmed. We chant on the basis of our conformity. Means our faith has to be very firm and confirmed, very fixed. Then taste it, not otherwise. Adara shraddha tato sadhu sangha atha bhajana kriya atha anartha nivrutti syat tato nishtha ruchi asakti bhava. That process is perfect to give us the love of God, love of Krishna. Not the love of Dhani must have it ever suggested. Because they are merchants. How much relation a consumer has with his supplier? Only during exchange of the metal. A consumer is a living entity who worships the demigods who are suppliers. How much love can we develop between them? So why do people worship demigods? Unless they are unintended. Isn't it? They should not. That is so. Less intelligent. But it doesn't mean demigods are less intelligent. See, Murugan is asking to become demigod. Means he wants to go to the planets of demigods, where they will be obedient servant in service of Lord Krishna. Now we can compare King Murugan, who was giving charity, cows, mean supply for the necessity supply. The Brahmanas were unsatiated. They took up the process of their profession in a very rigid way, and they became unhappy for that smartism, rigidity does not allow them access to love of God, even though they are in Brahman realization. Brahman jānāti hi Brahman. One who knows the Brahman is a Brahman. And one who practices to stay in that Brahman atmosphere, then they have to develop those characteristics we just spoke about. So, in this way we can see that Nrida, in the form of his heart, at least is realized by his pious activity and getting the mercy of the Lord on the suitability of the Lord, not his demand. But he immediately, as soon as he sees Lord Krishna there, he realizes. And he asks the benediction, please relieve me. Let me go from this cursed body of lizard to the demigod. You are the master, I know you. And I want to serve you. This is my conclusion. Forget the charity business. Because he was purified. The consciousness has to be purified. Actions are immaterial. It's right, mistake of giving the same car which has been already donated, for anything, a little short-lived lizard body, and he's not regretting it. But he doesn't want to remain confined into simplest aspects. He is intelligent enough to say, my dear Lord, I want to engage my senses in your service. Just like you are very benevolent to the cows, please engage my senses like that, in line. So, unless and until we engage our senses in the process of knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serving Him in a very confirmed way, we will never be enlightened. We will never be enlightened. So that is the request he is telling. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of God. Means you are different from the demigods. And you are the only worshipable Lord. Ona means you are the reservoir of all living entities. And all living entities are coming out from you. Just like the sparks are coming out from the fire. Both are simultaneously existing. But the sparks, as soon as they come out, they go in the opposite direction and get extinguished. In the same way, the living entity are going in the opposite direction of the fire, and they become forgetful. And their realm is overpowered by Maya, the material nature. And thus they lose their remembrance, the who they were. Simply they want to have their own way to become Lord and Master of whatever they're serving, and they struggle in this particular material world, which is nothing but a failure. Narayan is also willing, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he is the foundation of all living entities. So, Mruga is saying, please be my support. I was a dead living entity, but you are my sustainer. I was a dead living entity, means I didn't do something good by mistake, by my imperfection or whatever it is, but I am the soul, part and parcel of you. I am sustained by you. Even my desires are sustained by you. And so far I carried on in the life of the king to become so much externally municipal. I was boasting myself that, hey Brahma, why are you loving me for one cow only? I will give you 100,000 more. And then Brahma said, even if you give me 10,000 more than 100,000, I won't take it. Go to heaven. Such desires were also supported by the Lord, but because they are material desires, material results, Krishna was able to sustain, but now he's understanding that, look at that slight mistake, gave me the birth of a lizard. I'm the real person who is observing this truth. So, Please, you be my support. Let me be sustained by you only. Only grace, please make my senses your own. It means I can make all my senses in your service and nobody else's. Right? Oh, Punya Shloka. Now you have become famous as the deliverer of Nuga. Krishna is said to be Punya Shloka. Punya means very, very benevolent and always well wishing. There is no inauspiciousness in him. And glorifying him in choicest poetry will also simultaneously create such an atmosphere that it will purify others. Why do we have to pray by calling out such names of Punya Shloka, Uttam Shloka, Rishikesh? These are all transcendental qualities of the Lord and in transcendental nature and activities or functionalities. And they create transcendence in us. That's why we have to glorify in choicest words, not by sentimental prayers. Oh, my dear Lord, do at least this thing that when I die, you stand before me. Oh, don't come alone. Bring Radhavas. People make this kind of songs and prayers. What nonsense is it? A wishful thinking without properly coming to the platform of transcendental realization. There is mental aspect, but intellectual aspect will clear each and every faculty of our subtle desires. You have become famous for as the deliverer of Nirgha. Oh, Achyuta, please never be lost to my mind. Achyuta means symbolic. He said, I have fallen, I am Achyuta. From the king's body, I have fallen into the lizard body. But you are Achyuta. And now he is requesting, please never be lost from my mind. This is called Manmanabhava. Krishna is desiring. So, Krishna's desire is accepted by the reason. He said, okay, please, never be lost in mind. Give me that benediction. Manmanabhava. Oh, again, you will never diminish my mind. You will never be diminished in my mind. Means, I will ever remember you. You will never get away from my mind. Thus the great Bhagavatam commentator, Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti, explains the purport of these verses. So, the wonderful prayer, if even a lizard can do, why can't you do? Right? So we should take the direct support of Lord Shri Krishna and engage in his worship alone without going through the short-term benefits. We target for the long-term benefit. Prabhupada would cut a joke. When you are shooting, why don't you shoot a rhinoceros rather than a small innocent animal? Go and shoot a rhinoceros. Because rhinoceros is very ferocious. And if you are able to make him pray, that is your glory. So, why do we go to demigods? Target Lord Krishna. But Krishna is very clear. He will shoot you. Right? But in either case, You want to shoot, but Krishna will shoot you. And he will take you. Right? There is also other reverse process. Where devotees want to shoot Krishna. So they consider themselves to be enjoyer and Krishna to be enjoyer. This is called Sufism. The Sufis think that they are enjoyer and they become so much attached in love affairs that they make Krishna or the Lord to be the object of love. The beloved. Beloved. So they tell the story of Layla Majnu. Layla Majnu. Layla is the female character and Majnu is the male character. So they recite poems in other way around. So this is they want to shoot Krishna. But in our case, Krishna, you shoot us. Here we are, your parents. Make me an instrument of your life. Of your love. So shoot me. Thank you very much. Anybody has any questions? Yes.
Mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book that King Rudra gave these castes to only those who are qualified Brahmanas. At the same time, you see two Brahmanas who were not so satisfied, but were super kind and were arguing. But I always get the question why the very contradiction.
That is a smart characteristic. They were so rigid that they think that prestige or glory of being a Brahman should not be undermined. We are not able, we are not tolerating this mistake of the king. The king tried to compromise. He took the burden of or the honors to prove that he is innocent, and he didn't know. Yet they did not accept. It is a stubborn nature. Brahman must be, should be more benevolent. We talked about this particular point in the first class that there are three functionalities of the Brahman. The first is Yajana Yajana Pathana Pathana Dana Pratigraha. A Brahmin must study for himself and teach others. And he should perform the fire sacrifice and teach others or do on behalf of others. And he should accept in charity and also give in charity. But smartism is based on simply accumulation of the cows, property, means they are obsessed by the material possession. And yet they say, we are the true recipients, but they don't want to become the other true recipient. So that is a smart principle. So they want to become rigid in the following rules and regulations that will not develop love of God. So that is a detrimental thing, which is called Niyamagraha. They became obstinate that well, we cannot accept. Neither we can accept anything given multifoldly. We claim this is my car. And both were praying, this is my car. And they went away without coming to a compromise or tolerance, which is also absent. So smarters are intolerant. That's correct. So, in this way, they left the king in under his own situation. And soon after that, he died. It means he has to go through that mistake and paperwork. And he asked, okay, I will pay for my mistake first. Because Yamaraj also acknowledged that, yeah, you have good big wings. And so, somehow or other, it gave the opportunity, and Krishna wanted to resolve the matter. The final judge is Krishna. Right? He can bestow mercy upon anybody and everybody, according to his strict will, and he was there. So that shows Krishna's independence. Krishna is not bound, but Krishna is totally swarat, autocratic. And demigods are not autocratic. There is one king and everybody else is minister. Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arsami Nratya. Jahara Ichchai Kahe Karabe Nrutte. He makes everybody dance according to his desire, because he is the only Lord and Master. Any other question? Yes?
I want to the explanation that Brahmanas didn't accept King Mingo's suggestion of receiving all the 100,000 cards in order to set the example that the king cannot become corrupt and manipulate things.
Yes. That's correct. But at the same time, he admitted, whatever the outcome is, maybe. When things were unresolved, right, he also was good enough to accept the result. He was not remorseful. He was not much attached.
But I mean, from the Brahmana side, it was actually not so much that smart of Brahmana being silent, but that they had a purpose in that, that they wanted to set that lesson, that a king, they would come out at one stage, take something back, and they offer something else. Just for the future to come, that the king cannot be corrupt and manipulating their desires and be a politician, so to speak.
Yeah, but here there was no corrupt action. The king never performed any corrupt action. It is out of his ignorance that he didn't know how the cow had wandered in his lot. Right?
Yeah.
There are no other reasons ever. But still, because it shows directly that there are five factors in obtaining the result of a particular karma. It is not a simple action and reaction type of thing. The Daivam, the fifth character, is the Daivam, his supervision. Ultimately, it's Supreme Personality of God. And not a leaf will fall without his desire. So his desire is also interfering, and probably he wants to personally come and deliver him. Otherwise the result of charity and other things will take a long time, and still he wanted to go on the demigod platform. But Krishna is giving him the chance to become his devotee, acknowledge it, and then go to the demigod to serve him there. So we consider this is Daivam, is responsible, rather than any other reason for can even the a corrupted action was there and this and that.
Not from the king in this situation, but that's
the Brahmin.
The Brahmin's intention to take that lesson for the future.
Yeah, it may develop into corrupt action, but in Kali Yuga, this corruption is penetrated everywhere. The first corruption is coming from the corruption of the soul. When the soul becomes corrupt, the fallen soul is already corrupt. The original corruption, original sin, is to disobey the orders of the Lord. The soul wants to desire something else other than the Lord. But at least in lizard body, he is correcting that corruption, is it? So deep down, the soul is corrupt, and that's why even one gets into Brahminical status or so-called, devotee. So-called devotee. When the soul gives up all kinds of corruption, he becomes a devotee. And we can see in Rudra's prayers that his prayers are pure and no corruption is there.
And can the soul be corrupted because the soul is completely pure?
The soul desires in ignorance. That is the first corruption. He misuses the mind of independence for his own selfishness without interference of the Lord. Is not that corruption? Corruption overpowers the soul. Even the constitution is, and it manifests by covering of the material nature. That is the cause of his fall down. Who the hell cares where he has fallen from? But he has fallen, that is reality.
Jaya and Vijay also had similar situation. They really didn't offend Kumara, but it was Krishna's plan. Krishna wanted to fight Vijay.
But Krishna also gave them freedom to desire. 7 births of devotees or 3 of demons. And they knew Krishna's desire and wanted to show. Hey, we have complied. Here we come, demon, my dear Lord. And these demoniac nature, they show to such an extent that nobody can even imagine. Sometimes we get disturbed. Oh, there is so much going on. How can Krishna is not incarnate? We, the demons, are very tiny demons in comparison to Hiranyakashipu, Rama. We are all tiny demons. We are insignificant. Therefore, Krishna was telling, hey Arjuna, you think you are considering yourself to be the most sinful of all sin? Don't you ever underestimate His mercy. I can resolve even what you can imagine. I can resolve it. So the proper knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead can Sarva Jnana Plavaya Nemo Mrijinam Santarishyati. Sarva Jnana. Krishna is Sarva-jnana. Plavaini. Plava means the boat. You cross the ocean of material existence.
Naga was not a Krishna conscious
who?
King. Naga was not a Krishna conscious king, or was he not following?
Was he doing this out of devotion to Krishna? That's giving charity? There is also a sense of puffedness we can see. And we saw the commentary, and pertaining to that. If he thinks for one cow, he is able to give 100,000 cows, Was it a consideration of devotion? I will give you 100,000 cows, I have that. Just why are you quarreling for one? Brahmanas were much more puffed than the king. Tell the king, I won't take even 10,000 more than 100,000.
That brings to another point, Maharaj. Bali Maharaj also asked Vamandev, why you want two steps? I can give you so much. So can we say that Bali Maharaj was perfect?
Yes. But Prahlad protected him. In two steps, everything has been taken. And such a challenge by given by one of them, where do I put the third one? I have taken everything. And Bali could not run his head, can't think properly. But somehow the Prahlad was standing, his grandfather. So natural affection came, and Prahlad signaled him, your khopri. Then he surrendered. He understood. Here, my Lord, that is the perfect blessing. Wherever you send me. And I think he is staying somewhere in Israel. The Pata Roja. The South Pacific is called Pata Roja. So.
But where was Prahlad? Where was Prahlad Maharaj in that gathering? Where was he, Prahlad Maharaj?
Prahlad Maharaj, he's in the same palace. Higher position means they are supposed to be in mode of goodness, predominant. King is supposed to be in predominant mode of passion. Right? Even mode of goodness becomes a cause of bondage in material existence. So as far as the transcendence is concerned, both goodness and passion, they are going to yield their respective bondage, and the result will be just keeping us in the material world. So they are not better than each other. They are not better anyway. Therefore, both of them show some kind of ego. One is an ego of passion, another is an ego of moral goodness. So these are the two contradicting. Egos are giving the result to make him fall.
It's all because the Krishna was not in the center of that. That's the whole point.
That's correct. If both were doing in the realm of devotional service, both would be glorified. But here King Nrida was favored by the Lord. We don't see the Brahmins were favored by the Lord. Right? Yes.
In the forest when it's slowly progressing or trying to follow and surrender, but he not out of continuous surrender gets here and there, then if the main aim is to be 100%
steadiness.
100%
steadiness. Should be steady. Satatam kirtayanto mamyatam tascha brahmata namasyam tascha mamasya nitya yukta upasana. Nitya yukta, eternal service, eternal business. So he has to be very, very tolerant for the inconveniences he is getting. Actually, these are the hostilities in Kali Yuga. We were mind, you know, sometimes he is doing and sometimes not doing. No, he has to be intelligent. Intelligent will make the determination, not the mind. Because mind is in the first place wiggling. How can it make any determination? Right? So sankalpa, but with intelligence. How to chant 16 rounds, how to follow four aggregate principles. I'm taking a vow in front of the deities, in front of the devotees, and in fire sacrifice. So let my actions be consumed right here as an offering up to the Supreme Lord. I'm doing it voluntarily. This is the proper conviction or the mindset one should have, you know, during the time of initiation. Then you will surely get all this. So, we have to come to that point. Otherwise, we will allow our mind to dictate us. Okay, you did four rounds. Okay, take a little rest. Okay? Don't worry so much. Anyway, you have a whole life for chanting. Let's take a little rest. And wants to overpower you. Never listen to the mind. Krishna says that one whose mind is not controlled, it will act as the worst of its enemies. The whole process of chanting Hare Krishna is first to control the mind. That is the real purification. And Krishna directly tells us that one who has controlled the mind, understand he has almost achieved me. There is not much, you know, endeavor left to achieve Krishna separately. So, all of the processes of controlling the mind is failing because the age is so much of disqualification to perform any other purificatory process other than chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So why should we opt for something else and believe what our mind dictates?
Sometimes the Maya tells me.
Why sometimes all the time Maya is? Therefore, this is the process. Cultivate the faith on the process. You know, Prabhupada said, I may not be perfect, but the process I follow is perfect. That is the only hope we have. While you want to control your mind first and then chant Hare Krishna. No. Chant Hare Krishna and train your mind with firmness, discipline. Utsaha, nischaya, khilya, tatkatama, parvatana, Sangatyago, Sato Bhakti, Shadbhir Bhakti Prasiddhati. Let's do with these six methodologies. Rupa Goswami said that. This is the Upadesh.
Last question. What is the best for a person who out of ignorance has unknowingly or, you know, with using energy, with the flow of living energy, has done something wrong and now he wants to correct himself? Shall he just do it? As you mentioned yesterday, Brahma committed suicide because he became lusty to his own daughter. So, what is the suggestion for
him?
Yes.
Just bring him to his communion. That's it. By hook or crook, get him here. And tell him to follow the process. Right? Don't repent your past. Real repentance is chanting Hare Krishna. There is no other way. Because it is going to awaken your sleeping soul. Get him. We know all the technique. Actually, he is the best candidate because he is thinking. Right? Such a person will be the best candidate. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is he?
Unanswered.
Okay. The four regulatory principles, if one follows rigidly, then we are protected from all the gross anarthas. Four regulatory principles are when one follows rigidly, there will be coming out from the process of all the anarchists. And still it shows subtle handcuffings, then prayer. Krishna will certainly have association with the devotees. That will strengthen our process and conviction. At every stage of our progressive development in Krishna consciousness, association with the devotees has been given the priority. And it continues even up to the end with perfection of devotion, for which it is praying. You know, association has been counted as the utmost importance. In this Kali Yuga, only Sankirtan movement is victorious. And Sankirtan means not alone. Therefore, association is of the utmost importance.